appreciate some of the fire support group being here. Miss Nancy and some of her compadres are here with us. And we do have a gift for the fire department. We're going to help purchase some furniture, and I'll give that to Kurt, and I appreciate again all that they do. If you win your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. I also told them we'd be out on time. We're going to feed them after this, some brisket. John chapter 4, verse 43. I preached on this passage about 3 years ago. I always like to point that out because people keep up with it. And by the way, one of the firemen was asking when we bring the snakes out. We only do that on the third Sunday of each month. So they'll have to come back if you want to see the snakes. Some people are not coming back. Two Sundays. No snakes today. And it's interesting. It's always interesting. Appreciate our visitors being here. We have lots of visitors here this morning. Thank you for being here. John chapter 4. Look with me in verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence, talking about Jesus. Jesus departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come into Judea, into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. 6 words there. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Notice those are the same words that Jesus said. And then inquired he them of the hour and when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And he himself believed in his whole house. Verse 54, this again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time, bless the reading of your word. And Lord, we pray that we would see the faith of this nobleman, and Lord, we would follow in his steps. Lord, we would see that faith and exercise it. In Jesus' name, amen. John was written, the miracles, and y'all remember the study we did several years ago, the miracles were written in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 20, John tells us they were written in order that you might live and believe, in order that you might believe and live. So if it's written, if the miracles in John, which there are 7 miracles recorded in John, if they were written in order that we might believe and live, it's not talking about physical, right? Because we're all breathing and we're all here this morning. So it's talking about spiritual. So the miracles were performed by Christ to prove that he was indeed the Messiah, that he was indeed who he said he was, that he was the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament to come. And then it was also there as kind of a shock and awe, and we'll cover that here in a moment. But Jesus Christ left Jerusalem. He left the feast. And he said there in chapter 4, I must needs go through Samaria. He went through Samaria and spent 2 days there. Amen. led a Samaritan woman to the Lord there by the well. And she accepted and believed. And many there believed there in Samaria. And what a great trip it was. So he leaves there. And he goes up to Galilee. And I wish we had some pictures here, but Brother McCracken did a good job. Then he kind of went down here is Judea, Samaria's here, and Galilee's up here. It's like Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, just on a much smaller scale. Much, much smaller scale. And so he leaves Jerusalem, he leaves Judea, Texas, runs up to Oklahoma, leads somebody to the Lord. Not wearing red and white today, right? That's the first inside joke. runs through Samaria, leads this lady to the Lord, helps her. Many folks get saved there, and then runs back up to Galilee. And that's where we find the story. And there, the nobleman finds out he is there in Galilee, and he comes down, of course, to meet him there. And we find here again Jesus Christ entering his second year of ministry. Remember, he only has 3.5 years of ministry before his death. And here again, the nobleman meets him there. So he entered into a ship and went over to the city of Capernaum. I'm sorry, let me go back where we were started. And it says, then he was coming to Galilee, and the Galileans received him. By the way, everybody should receive him. Everybody should receive him. You know, he came into his own many times, and his own received him not. Why did they receive him this time? We know before they had, many of them had rejected him. Why had they received him this time? Well, John chapter 2 verse 23 tells us that many of these people, and also this verse tells us that many of these people had seen him in Jerusalem a few weeks prior, healing people. And so they received him, having seen those things, verse 45, that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. And so they believed him because of the things they saw him do. And that's part of the reason why he rebukes them. He says, you believe only because you saw me do the miracles. You believe only because you saw me do these miraculous things. But notice the nobleman. The nobleman met him. Notice the spark of faith we see here in the nobleman. A spark of faith, just as small as a mustard seed. He no doubt had heard about Jesus. He no doubt had heard about Jesus. But now he's fixing to get to meet Jesus. And a change, miraculous change is going to take place. This nobleman's son was sick. By the way, the nobleman simply means he was a member of Herod's court. In other words, he was rich and had great position. So this was a wealthy man, a man of prestige, a man of position. But his son was sick. His son was sick. I think about this man, if he was rich and in position, would you think the inference would be that no doubt he had already taken him to doctors? I mean, if I was rich, had everything that I could want, then my son gets sick, I'm going to take him to doctors. So there's no doubt that has happened first, and apparently they were not able to heal him, not able to get him well. He heard about Jesus, he heard of the miracles. Maybe he had seen some of the ones that he had performed. And so he goes to Jesus. He seeks him out. He didn't send his servants. He personally came to him. He traveled Capernaum up to Cana, about 20 miles, and there by the Sea of Galilee. And he comes to Jesus. By the way, Jesus is the answer to everything. Amen. Jesus is all in all. If you're here today and your heart is heavy, Jesus is the answer. If you're here today and you're in the midst of a test or a storm in life, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to marital problems. Jesus is the answer to relational problems. Jesus is the answer to financial problems. Not that he's going to send you $10 million in the bank. We don't, you know, the televangelists see anything. But he will take care of you. He will help you. He will encourage you. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So thankful that we have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. And the nobleman came to Jesus, came to the right place, because he had a great need. His son was at the point of death. So he traveled 20 miles from Cana to Capernaum because his son was at the point of death. The Bible says that he besought him. He besought him. He begged him. That's what besought means. He begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. In other words, the need was great. The need was great. The need was great. We have a great need today. And I told you the application here, according to John chapter 20, is spiritual, not physical. The application is that Christ came and lived a perfect life for 33.5 years and died on the cross for us. Amen. Carried our sins on the cross. The Bible says he laid on him the iniquity of us all, that there he died on the cross in order that we might have everlasting life, in order that we might have salvation, be saved from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins, from hell, and have a home in heaven. Jesus Christ is the answer to our greatest need, which is a sin need, to have our sins forgiven. The greatest day in my life was when I was 6 years old and I knelt in my pastor's office and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm telling you today, if you haven't accepted Him today, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. That you'll ever make. The greatest need. The nobleman had a great need. His son was at the point of death. At the point of death. He had a small spark of faith. Remember that little song? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Nobody remembers that one? And then all those around, you sing Kumbaya around the fire? No? Doesn't ring a bell? Okay. So had a spark of faith. He came to the right place. He came to the right person, Jesus Christ. And he begged him. He besought him. And notice in verse 48 that Jesus did rebuke them. He rebuked the nobleman. He rebuked the crowd that was there gathered. He said, ye, look there at verse 48, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. That's plural. Ye is plural. Ye will not believe. I think too many in this world are looking for some kind of sign from God when we just simply need to believe Him. We simply need to trust in His Word. Jesus is not going to come down in some 100-foot statue or some... It's just not going to happen. You know, the Lord speaks to us through His Word and to our heart and that still small voice. And He just simply asks the question, because I do these things, you believe? Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Come down ere my child die. And again, the nobleman's pleading with him, beseeching him, begging him. He continued. He was desperate. In fact, you see a changing in the wording. There's a changing in the wording from my son, he says, to my child. And in the Greek, the child there means this would have been a small child. This would have, the word child there means a dear one, a small child. So it was a boy. It was his son. But it would have been a toddler, a very small child. Can you see the desperation, or can you hear the desperation in his voice as he travels up to Capernaum and he pleads goes 20 miles and he pleads with the Savior, my son lieth upon the death, come with me, come make the trip 20 miles and come heal my son. And then he says, come and heal my child. He's just a little boy. He's just a little one. I need you, Lord. I need you. Begs him. Desperate. Desperate. I think we just see the fanning of the flames of this man's faith. When Jesus says unto him, look at verse 50, he says, go thy way, thy son liveth. So Jesus didn't have to travel the 20 miles to heal his son. Amen. He just said 6 words, go thy way, thy son liveth. By the way, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He believed on Him. That's what it says there in the back. And then the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He went his way. He believed. That spark of faith was fanned and began to grow. Go thy way. Healing will come. By the way, healing comes God's way. He's not confound or confined by distance. Jesus is all-powerful. Our God is all-powerful. He could do anything. He's not confined by 20 miles. And we see that He trusted Him. He believed. He had confident faith in Jesus' words. By the way, we can trust Jesus' words. We can put our confidence in Him. I love my earthly father. Y'all know I do. I have a great relationship with my dad who's 65. And I'll get to see him here in a couple of weeks. And we call each other every evening. And I have confidence in my dad. And I believe when my dad tells me something, he's the finest Christian man I've ever met and have ever known. And I have confidence in what he says. But a few times, very, very few, he said a few things that were just not exactly right. All of us sometimes have a tendency to prone to exaggeration. I've never done it personally. Ever. But all of us do. And I have great confidence in my dad's words, but listen, not to the scale of my Heavenly Father. Amen. Because, listen, He keeps every promise. He keeps every promise. He's never broken His word. And so this man, this nobleman, this rich man, this man of power and prestige, this man who heard of Jesus, maybe had had heard of from family members, maybe an aunt who had been healed by Jesus or whatever the case. But now he puts his faith in him. He puts his faith in his word. And I'm glad again we can trust in the promises of God. A mustard seed of faith, a very small faith, fanned and then becomes a bonfire. I love this. It says there, he believed the word of Jesus had spoken to him. He had confidence and had faith in him. His faith was small, but it was enough. Verse 51 says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. So he was going back down that 20 miles, met the servants who were coming, and they said to him, thy son liveth. This is going to blow your mind. You ready? Verse 52 says, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. That word, that phrase, began to amend, means a process. The process, or the natural healing process. It's speaking about the doctor giving you something and your body working at healing itself. Or, you know, a band-aid helping or whatever it is. It's a process of being healed. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Notice the difference between began to be amended or began to amend and the fever left him. Left him. In other words, it didn't mend. It didn't amend. It didn't go through a process of healing. It healed instantaneously and the boy was gone. When Jesus heals, he heals instantaneously. He heals all the way. I love that. I love that part where he's in the storm and the disciples come to him and say, he's in the boat in the storm on the Sea of Galilee and the disciples come to him and say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? He's at the bottom of the boat sleeping. Remember that? He's at the bottom of the boat sleeping. All his disciples are up bailing water out of the ship. This little 25 foot wooden boat. And his disciples up there bailing water out. Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus gets up on the deck of the boat and says, peace be still. And boom, no waves, no wind, none of this shaking back and forth. I'm not talking about the waters didn't have to do that. I mean, just glass. Amen. Miracle, right? Amen. When he healed the nobleman's son, the fever left him. It didn't begin to amend. The fever left. And what a miracle it was. This is the part that I pointed out to you a few years ago that really got to me. When did he get healed? They said, yesterday at the seventh hour. The seventh hour is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So get the picture now. Get the picture. He departed, came to Galilee. There he comes to the nobleman's son. He comes again into Canaan, the nobleman's son, who is son sick at Capernaum. The nobleman's son, a nobleman leaves Capernaum, travels up to Canaan, 20 miles uphill. Begs the Heavenly Father, begs Jesus to heal his son. Jesus says, thy son is healed. Thy son liveth. All that happened at 1 o'clock. What would you have done at 1 o'clock if the Savior had said to you, thy son liveth. Go thy way, thy son liveth. What would you have done? I would have got back in my chariot and made the trip 20 miles to go see if my son was well or not. Right? Which would have taken 2 to 4 hours. But the nobleman is there the next day, still walking or in his chariot, whatever, taking his time. He's not in a hurry. Everybody with me? He's not in a hurry. He could have made the trip that afternoon and back to Capernaum, right? But he wasn't in a hurry. I just want you to get this now. He wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't in a hurry to make the 20-mile trip. The next day, he was still making the trip. Could have made it in 2 or 4 hours. Why? I think he had more faith than some of us. He believed the Lord. He believed him. He didn't have to be in a hurry. He knew his son was well. He knew his son was healed. Isn't that good? The little spark of faith, this nobleman, this rich man who comes to Jesus and begs and beseeches the Lord to heal his son. That little spark of faith was fanned the flame as Jesus said to him, hey, why do you seek healing? You seek it because I did all these miracles? And then the nobleman kept begging him. He kept beseeching him, Lord, come, lest my son die. Come, and lest my child, my small infant child, my small infant son die. Jesus looked at him and said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And instead of the man hopping in his chariot, making the trip quickly down, he takes his time. He's still traveling the next day because he knew his son was healed. His faith was confirmed. His faith was confirmed. He believed the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the Creator of the universe. He believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. We know this as this happens. By the way, his faith impacted those around him. Notice what it says there, that when they came to him the seventh hour, it left him. And so the father, verse 53, knew that it was at the same hour in that which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth. And he himself, look at this, and himself believed, and his whole house. Believed what? Believed that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. Believed that Jesus Christ was indeed the Savior. He believed, and then he went home and told his house, and his house believed. What a testimony. What a testimony. John Phillips said this, one of the commentary writers said, previously the nobleman had believed the Lord's promise, but now he believed in the Lord's person. I believe in the Lord's promise. I know what He's promised to me. He's promised to give unto me eternal life if I believe and put my trust in Him. He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. He's given us lots of promises. But when I accept Him as my Savior, when I trust in Him and Him alone, it's no longer meeting the promise, it's meeting the person. Jesus Christ desires a personal relationship with each of us. He desires that personal relationship with you. I hope today you have that personal relationship. Again, notice the miracle that He performed. What a great and wonderful Savior we have. What a great and wonderful Savior we had. The nobleman had a great need. His son was at the point of death. His son was sick. I want to remind you, the Bible says, for we were dead in trespasses and sins. But He hath quickened us. He hath made us alive. And Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life and died for us in order that we might have eternal life. The nobleman took him to Jesus. Can I just encourage you this morning? When there's a problem going on in your life, when there's a difficult situation in your life, when things are burdening you down, take him to Jesus. Remember that He is the great physician. Listen, we can go to doctors and do all that, and we should. God uses doctors and all these others and medical staff that are here today. But let's be reminded that Jesus Christ is the ultimate physician, and He's promised to help us and be there for us. Remind you that when you are going through those difficult times, that Jesus is there for you. Would you not say this morning that it was the physical problem in his son's life that drew the nobleman to Jesus? Because sometimes we get the idea, I've heard this said before, that you just want Jesus for what you can get out of it. I think that's why he came, wasn't it? Didn't he come? The nobleman came for what he could get out of it. But he got a lot more. He got a lot more than what he came for. And yes, we can initially be driven to Christ or come to Christ for what he can do for us. We can come to Christ for what he can do for us in our situations. But he'll do so much more for you. The spark of faith can get you to Christ. But the Lord will The Lord will fan the flame, right? Shouldn't put two F's together. The Lord will fan the flame. I'm going to say it three times. Y'all ready? The Lord will fan the flame. Lord, increase our faith, right?
Amen.
Increase our faith. The Lord will do that for you. You come to the Lord, He'll increase your faith. He will grow your faith. And no doubt the nobleman's faith was increased. It was fanned. And then it became a bonfire. Once he heard that his son had been healed, he believed. He believed. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed on Him and trusted in Him as your Savior? I hope you have. If not, I encourage you to come forward this morning. This is an old-fashioned Baptist church. We have an altar call. I encourage you to step out of your chair and come forward, and someone here at the altar will show you how you can have eternal life. And Christian, this morning, can I remind you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Bring your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The Lord loves you this morning. Jesus healed the nobleman's son because of the nobleman's faith. He believed. He believed. And by the way, his belief, his faith impacted those around him. I want to remind you as a Christian that your faith impacts those around you. What you do, what you say impacts those around you. Let's be an ambassador, a good ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ this week. Let's live for Him this week. Let's don't play churchianity on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week, right? Amen? Pastor gets this a lot. You know, somebody will say to me, Preacher, I don't go to church anymore because a bunch of hypocrites up there. Yeah, that's true. All of us to an extent are hypocrites. None of us can live up to the standard of Jesus Christ, right? But, you know, let's don't give them fuel for the fire, right? Let's live right. Let's do right. And God will bless you for it. Let's all stand.